Underwriting support for the Book Show podcast on WAMC.org comes from Northshire Bookstore, Manchester Center, Vermont, and Saratoga Springs, New York. An independent bookstore offering books, author events, gifts for children and adults, and more. Northshire.com. And from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a new Bachelor of Science degree in Public Health with a focus on social, physical, and behavioral sciences. strose.edu.
Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. Natalie Goldberg, the woman who changed the way writing is taught in this country, has just written a new memoir, sharing her experience with cancer, grounded in her practice of writing and Zen. The new book, Let the Whole Thundering World Come Home, is a reflection on being in love with your life, even when life brings illness. When Natalie learns that she has CLL, a potentially fatal form of blood cancer, she is plunged into the world of hospitals, doctors, and medication. While trying to find a footing in this new and strange world, her partner, Yuquan, is also diagnosed with cancer. The cancer twins, as Natalie calls herself and Yuquan, must each navigate their own illness while somehow trying to stay in love and heal. The new book is Let the Whole Thundering World Come Home, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Natalie Goldberg to this week's book show. Thank you very much for being with us. A delight to have you.
Oh, I'm really glad to be here, right in the studio in Albany, New York.
It's very nice to have you here in the studio. Give us a sense of there's living through what you lived through and then writing about it. And writing about it for a mass audience. What goes into that and the decision of how you're going to go about that?
Wow, that's a big question. Well, first of all, I had to just get it down. And as one of my agents said, Natalie, every writer who has cancer has to write about it. So it has to have some other angle other than just, I had cancer and I went to this doctor, I went to that doctor. But first, to begin, I just had to get it down in a linear way. And then later, I added a real development of Yuquan, because it's unusual that two partners, have cancer at the same time. And then I also added at the beginning of each section, and this is, I'm telling you how I built the book. I have always gone to cemeteries to visit the graves of writers and painters that I love. So at the beginning of each section, I go and visit a grave of someone that I've loved. And so I built the book from the first linear urge to just get down what happened to me. And also I wrote it not only for me, I wrote it for other people. When I used to hear someone had cancer, I had no idea what that meant. I thought, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know the hell people go through. And I wanted to let that out so people know that. And also people who have cancer and are going through hell, they're not alone.
When it comes to the forces here, and there are many, there is the disease, there is the writing, your interest in writing and your direction on writing, as well as the relationship, and of course, the practices of Zen that play a part in this as well. So there's a lot in this stew.
Yes, I agree. And I think I held on to a lot of them. You know, painting. I've painted more secretly than writing. I did a bunch of self-portraits when I could no longer speak, when words couldn't come to me. I'd look in the mirror. I'd say, okay, Nat, you're pretty. Make your portrait pretty. And then I'd draw it, and it was a horror show. But that was the truth, the deeper truth of what I was going through. But I definitely leaned on, well, you know, Joe, in a way, the life you live is how you're going to enter cancer, too, or how you're going to die. You're not suddenly going to change. Just like brushing your teeth. I bet you brush your teeth every day. Yeah. And when you have cancer, you're going to keep brushing your teeth because it's a habit you've developed. So I've developed the habit of writing very deeply. So even when I had cancer, I kept writing.
And so those things don't change, but obviously a great deal in your life changes.
Yes. I had to enter the medical world, which I completely avoided in my life. I always went to alternative people, acupuncture, homeopathists. And suddenly I felt in order to survive, I had to face the hardcore medical world, go into big institutions where they seemingly are impersonal. And I had to learn to deal with that and in a way grow up and face things I didn't want to face, including impermanence and the fact that I could have died and that I will die whether I have cancer or not. No human being gets away.
And these are things that I guess we know, and yet we don't ponder them quite enough. We don't understand the fragility of a human life.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, my Zen practice for many years always told me that you're going to die. And I think I understand now why they were telling you that was in the face of knowing you'll die, how will you live? But it was all aesthetic for me or make-believe until I actually physically experienced cancer. Then it was roaring in my face that I was going to die someday, and it did change things.
Natalie Goldberg is our guest. The name of the book is Let the Whole Thundering World Come Home. You do talk in the book about the suffering and how you embrace it and your commitment, a fierce commitment to embrace that suffering. Did that come out of an understanding, a conscious decision, a desire to do so, or one of necessity?
I think necessity. I think I wanted to live. I had cancer and okay. Of course, you read in the beginning, I avoided a lot. But finally, I turn toward it and I go for it. And what I mean, I go for it. Okay, how can I best take care of this? I don't know if any of the practices mattered. It's just my human life and I wanted to live. And in order to do that, I really had to face up and face into whatever I needed to survive.
And then, of course, your partner also is diagnosed with cancer. So at that time, you have made your decision. Is that influenced by their decision? Is their decision influenced by your decision?
Oh, that's a really good question. No. You know, when you're around someone who has cancer, you get nervous that you have cancer. You know, you just get nervous. You become aware of it. So Yu Kwan went home one day and felt her breasts, and she hadn't gotten a mammogram in 8 years, and she found a lump. But I was irate. How dare you? You don't have cancer. I have cancer. And then it turned out she did have cancer. And she had to manifest her own life force and her own drive. I was incapable of helping her because I was lost and also deeply involved in my own cancer.
Does it have to be that way in the sense of, in looking back at it, do you think, well, if we forge this bond to fight this disease in our respective ways, but we're going to do this together, would that have perhaps a different outcome than, okay, I have to do it this way and you have to do it your way?
Well, you know, innate in our relationship, we were both had tough childhoods in very different ways. And so we've learned pretty brutally how to take care of ourselves. And I think the habit that you create in your life is what you do when you have cancer. And so Yu Kwan and I have always lived very independent lives from each other, taking care of our lives independently. And in some ways, when I wrote the book, I exposed some things about me that don't look very nice. I didn't step up in ways I probably should have. But I wasn't even aware of it till I wrote the book. Like, oh my God, they're going to think I'm terrible. But maybe I was terrible, but I wanted to show that.
One of the outcomes often of a troubled childhood, and however that is described, and obviously can manifest itself in a myriad of ways. However, often it comes that the trust is an issue, that idea of trust is an issue. Did you have to grapple with the trust of a lot of things, as we were talking about a moment ago, of the medical establishment, a trust of your ability to combat this disease, and then the trust of a partner who is involved not only in the relationship, but involved because of the shared illness?
Well, I certainly trusted her to take care of herself. I knew that. And then I had to build a trust in the medical profession. Actually, no, I didn't trust the medical profession. I started trusting myself to learn how to take care of it. Like when a receptionist was really awful to me and very abrupt, I learned to not take it personally, not to fight with her, to realize she might have had a bad day. She might not be connected to all the oncologists that I think are switching my schedule, and she's just following orders. So I began to learn the territory, and I began to trust myself, and then learn to dig out in that, to find oncologists and doctors who were really good. And when you meet them, you know immediately, okay, I'm going to go with you.
And I was going to ask about that trust in yourself, because, I mean, in many facets of your life, that has been the case. So is it easier, probably impossible to figure it out, but is it easier to apply that to your medical condition because you have confidence in other aspects of your life?
Wow, I never thought of that. I think because I've lived an independent life, I entered the cancer world independently. And I show it in the book. I wanted to. For instance, I walked out on the number one doctor in the country for CLL. It didn't feel right. And I left. But it took time to learn to trust again. But maybe I do trust myself. I trust myself in writing, in teaching, in sitting. So maybe I built on that, which I didn't think of because it was so hard for me to go into that world. But I grew up. I really grew up because I faced something I really didn't like. And I learned how to work in it and to honor it and to feel gratitude.
Talk a little bit about honoring it. I found that to be one of the most fascinating aspects, to honor it, to respect it.
Yes, exactly. Well, for one example, finally, after many mishits, I finally found ibrutinib, which is a drug that I took that really saved me and helped me. Well, while I was teaching writing practice and traveling all over the country, helping people with writing, 20, 30 years ago, there were people in Pennsylvania in a lab working on figuring out how to save people with CLL, slowly, with a lot of mishaps, and finally came up with this drug that the FDA just okayed a year before I got sick. And I felt such gratitude. I wanted to find those people and bring them cupcakes. Just say, thank you, thank you. I didn't know these things were going on. And not only didn't I know, at that time, I probably thought you were square. Why do that when you could study literature? But now I feel such gratitude. And I honor science in a way I never did before, because it saved my life.
Talk a little bit about CLL. As I mentioned in the introduction, a potentially fatal blood cancer. Of what is it, and how does it manifest itself?
Okay, it's called chronic lymphocytic leukemia. And leukemia means a cancer of the blood. And lymphocytic, it lives in the lymphs. Well, we have lymphs all over our body. So it gives them a great opportunity to spend time and hang out in my body. It's a slow cancer, but once it starts activating, it can get pretty quick. And it also can morph into lymphoma. Many Jews get it. And I feel the reason for that is way back when we had to live in ghettos and what were called shtetls, living very close together in Europe, and there wasn't a freshening of the blood. You know, I don't know if there was intermarriage, but it wasn't a wide range of people marrying each other. And the blood really needed to be freshened. So I felt that I had a cancer. I was carrying my culture and my people during that time. I think it helped me a little.
Really?
Identifying it that way.
Oh, by the identification.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
It could also put pressure on you that you're also not carrying this for yourself, but carrying this for an entire
group
of people.
Yeah, I think for somehow it left it as I'm not a martyr. You know, it's not just me. It's my people. Somehow it made it bigger and okay.
Natalie Goldberg is our guest on this week's book show. The name of the memoir is Let the Whole Thundering World Come Home. Where does that title come from?
Well, actually, it's a sentence in the book. My title was Down to the Marrow. And I like that idea. You know, it connected up with writing down the bones, and it was a marrow disease. But my editor at Shambhala read that sentence and said, we have to make it that. And she got together with the marketing people, and they all voted for it, which actually means let the whole thundering world come home, means everything, life, death, the medical world, fear, terror, happiness, just let it, because we live very much, this is okay, this isn't okay. Well, suddenly, when I had cancer, I had to open much larger to the whole world.
It's a much more eloquent way of saying, okay, bring it on.
Yes. Thank you, Joe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, just, hey.
You got it.
I've done this. Now bring whatever else you've got.
You've got it. Exactly.
So I mentioned this also in the introduction, the cancer twins. So how did the... How do you become the cancer twins? And because it does give you a sound of a superhero type quality to it.
Yeah, well, that helped. It helped. And I didn't come to that term for quite a few months. But we did have a sense of humor. We were always laughing. Like if the mailman delivered a great package for me, I'd say, I'm changing my will and I'm going to give the postman half my money. You know, we would constantly change our will. If someone brought us a pie, they're in our will. So we did that, and I definitely learned in the center of cancer, cancer doesn't have to be everything. It doesn't have to run everything, because there's many things in our human life besides cancer.
At the end of the book, you write, Yuquan and I were both now on the other side of cancer, at least for now. A possible return loomed over us, and we found ourselves alienated from each other. Taking care of our individual cancers worked well, but now we didn't know how to come together again. She had become a stranger.
Yes, that's true.
Does that indicate that at some point, no matter the intensity of the relationship, that this is a fight and a disease that becomes so personal that it's almost impossible to envelop anyone else into.
I don't think that's true. I think that was true for Yuquan and me and the way we've developed and grown up. But I know couples that are so bonded that they would go through it together, you know, in a much closer way. We just didn't do it that way. And also, as a writer, I have my own world that I live in, no matter how close I am to someone. There's a part of me, you could say I hold back, I protect my writing, I need a lot of time alone. So it's really unique for us. I don't think everyone has to be as stark as Yuquan and I did it. And when you read the book, you hear about her background. And she had a pretty tough background. We were always very nice to each other and supportive, but distant. And, you know, at the end, we were strangers.
And this gets back to the idea of trust, because it's hard, especially when you've grown up in a way that's difficult to trust another human being, which brings on in some way the positive, a positive in life, which is independence, but then ultimately can manifest itself, yes, into distance.
Distance, a little bit of alienation.
Right.
And I had no idea how to get back with her. Partially, she's Asian. And we didn't talk. Now, I don't mean that as a stereotype, but she didn't talk a lot. We didn't process. She wasn't into psychology. So in the book, I show that for a while, we were alienated. She bought me a present and I had a temper tantrum. It wasn't the kind of present I wanted. And then one day I softened and made a roast chicken and invited her over to eat. And eating is a way that we've always been close and enjoyed each other. And we found the foothold to melt through eating.
When it comes to the writing of a story like this, how much time has to go by before you can tell the story so you've had time with it?
Well, you know, each book is different. This is my 14th book, and I can just tell you how it was for this book. I think as soon as I saw that the ibrutinib, the final thing that helped me, started turning in me and I started feeling human energy, I started writing in my notebook. I didn't know it was going to be a book, but I started writing about my cancer. And then I wrote about it the next day and the next day. And after about 6 days in a row, I thought, oh no, you're writing another book. I hadn't planned to write a book about cancer. It's not a deep interest of mine. I wanted to run away from it when I got better. But I had a great need to share the experience.
It's hard to read this memoir and not think of you as just a ball of human energy.
Sometimes I'm not that at all. I'm just a weary old girl. And often I would go sit in my backyard and just listen to the aspen leaves. In a way, the cancer slowed me down and gave me a gift.
Has it changed your spiritual practices at all?
Wow. Yeah, I feel like I don't have a spiritual practice now. I feel like every moment is a spiritual practice. And I told this young woman in my workshop, I asked her, how old are you? She seemed so young. And she said, I'm 20. I said, oh, 20. It seems so long ago. And I said, really live your life. Really live your life. And then I thought about it later. What did I mean by that? I didn't mean have a bucket list and run around and do everything, but moment by moment, be embodied, be in there. Be in there, whatever happens, just be in there. This is it.
And it's hard to think that you didn't live even more of a life as a result of
conquering
the disease.
It's much more full. I think my life is much more full.
It's a beautiful memoir.
Thank you.
It is entitled Let the Whole Thundering World Come Home by Natalie Goldberg, and it is published by Shambhala. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Boy, you're good.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Natalie Goldberg's new memoir is Let the Whole Thundering World Come Home. It is published by Shambhala. We enjoy hearing from our listeners about our shows. You can email us at book@wamc.org, and you can listen again to this or find past book shows via podcast or at wamc.org. Sarah LeDuc produces our program. Bookmark us for next week, and thanks for listening. For The Book Show, I'm Joe Donahue.